Penguin Random House Audio presents You with a View by Jessica Joyce. Read for you by Kyla Garcia. Graham, I got all your signs that you were with me while I wrote this. I love you further than forever. 1. I wake up to 2 million views. I don't know it at first. With my eyes closed, my hand traverses the obstacle course of cups, food wrappers, and chapstick tubes on my nightstand to find my phone. All I want is to know the time. Or maybe I don't. From the sunlight piercing my screwed-shut eyelids, it's embarrassingly late. My fingers wrap around the charger cord, and I drag the phone across the nightstand, knocking the chapsticks down like bowling pins. Whatever. Future Noelle can deal with that mess. I finally get a hand on my prize and illuminate the screen, but instead of the time, my bleary eyes snag on an avalanche of TikTok notifications. Even as I blink at the astronomical number, it keeps ticking, growing by 5, by 17, by 42. What the hell? I croak. Then I remember. My video. My already sleep-weak grip fails me, and the phone drops onto my face. The door flies open at my pained howl. Through watery eyes, I make out the general shape of my mom. Noelle? What in the world? If this were a sitcom, this is where it would freeze. On me, 28 years old, rolling around in my childhood bed, blinded in a freak iPhone accident after going viral on a social media app meant for teenagers. The only thing that doesn't make me want to die inside is how many people have seen this video. My heart skips a beat. Maybe even the right person. I knife into a seated position, my fingers pressed against my aching orbital bone as I fumble for my phone. From the doorway, Mom watches in bafflement, decked out in Peloton gear instead of a power suit. Must be Saturday. Are you okay? Brown eyes that match mine slide to the bike in the corner of the room. On the wall, a neon sign cheers, "Be awesome." I can tell she's dying to turn it on. I wish I could tear it down. Nothing like waking up to aggressive positivity every morning when you're a grown adult who had to move back into your parents' house after getting laid off from a job you didn't even like. Yes, Mom, I'm great, I sigh, a headache blooming. Just dropped my phone on my face. Sorry, sweetie. Hey, since you're up, I'm going to get a quick ride in. She says all of this in one breath, already at the bike with her special extra-loud shoes in hand. The number of times she's woken me clacking across the hardwood these past 4 months can't be counted on all my appendages. It's not her fault she turned my childhood bedroom into a shrine to her $2,000 bike, though. None of us anticipated I'd be here again. Do your thing. I burrow back under my duvet and pull up my account on TikTok, my heart pounding. Right there, on my latest video posted just over a week ago, is the number of views. 2.3 million. There are over 400,000 likes and 1,600 comments. Holy shit! What the hell happened? When I fell asleep at 9 last night, I held steady at a paltry 80 likes. And, most crushingly, no comments. My expectations were low, but they should have been lower. I created the account last September on a bored whim, then started posting my photography after seeing other photography accounts take off, though no one gave a shit about mine. But hope starts with a seed, right? At least, that's what my gram used to tell me with a wink. I keep all of the advice she gave me tucked in my pocket for when I need it, which was often before her death, and near constant now that she's gone. She was a fixture in my life from the start. The person I turned to when anything happened, good or bad. It's unconventional to call a grandparent your best friend, but Graham was mine from the time I knew what best friends were. It took 2 months after she died before I could look at pictures of her without instantly crying. I have a voicemail of her singing happy birthday that I can't listen to, even 6 months later. But this video, the one that now has millions of views, is as much a love letter to her as it is a question to the universe. Or a plea. When you find out your grandmother had a secret lover when she was 20, you want to know more. And when she's not around to answer the tornado of questions that kicked up the second you pulled those pictures out of a time-worn envelope in a box transferred from a dusty corner in her garage, well, you have to find alternate means. My dad was my first stop. I asked if he knew anything about Graham's romantic history, keeping it vague. I had to tread lightly. If he didn't know about the relationship, it might upset him. His grief was still as raw as mine. It was only ever Pop for her, and Mom for him. She always talked about how he was her greatest love, he told me. His parents' relationship has always been a point of pride. Their love story set his own expectations sky high, turning him into a hopeless romantic, and those expectations trickled down. It was a long-standing joke in our family. If it's not like Graham and Grandpa Joe, we don't want it. Dad's eyes had narrowed with curiosity, maybe suspicion, at my ensuing silence. Where'd that question come from? Oh, nowhere, I said, while a picture of her and another man burned a hole in the back pocket of my jeans. So, Dad was out. And if he was out, everyone else in my family was too. They'd just turn around and tell him. I'd spent enough time on TikTok to know it was equal parts useless and transformative. Insipid dance routines mixed with reunion videos that made me sob into my pillow at 2 a.m. If I posted the information I'd found and made it compelling enough, there was a chance someone would see it. There was a chance someone would know. Maybe they'd know something about the collection of photos and the single letter Graham squirreled away for over 60 years. Maybe they'd know the handsome man in the pictures with wavy dark hair and a deep dimple named Paul. It was written on the back of the pictures, in a steadier version of her loop-happy handwriting, along with the years 1956 and 1957. She married Grandpa Joe in 1959, after a whirlwind romance. I know their story by heart. Graham loved to tell it to me. But she never uttered Paul's name, not once. And that's strange. We played a game we affectionately called Tell Me a Secret, constantly. I always told her mine, and she told me hers. So I thought. Before gathering up the nerve to look at the comments and confirm whether my answer is there, I decide to rewatch the video. I press my thumb to the screen and it starts up, playing the Lord Huron song I chose for maximum heartstring pullage. The text I added overlays each picture I hold up in the frame, the chipped mint polish on my thumb a stark contrast to the black and white prints. There's a bite of grief looking at her face, which in its youth looked so much like mine. The architecture of our features is the same. People have always told us that. Twins separated by 50 or so years. Soulmates born in different decades. The first picture is Graham and Paul standing in front of a house I don't recognize. The text on the screen reads, "My grandmother passed away recently. I found these pictures of her and a man I never knew." Then it's them at the beach, her looking up at Paul with a flirty grin on her face. The only info I have is his name is Paul, and they knew each other in Glenlake, California, sometime around 1956. Next, it's a picture of them embracing, her cheek pressed against his chest, eyes closed. Her name is Kathleen, and I believe she was 20 in these photos. The last is Paul sitting at a picnic table, his chin propped in his hand, gazing into the camera in a way that reveals who was behind it. This is a long shot, but if you recognize him, please reach out. Graham never mentioned him, but he looks important. I really need to hear their story. There's a thread of commonality running through each picture. They were always looking at each other and smiling, often in each other's arms. In many of the shots, Graham was looking up at Paul with hearts in her eyes. And his heart clearly belonged to her. If I hadn't known it by the way he looked at her, the letter he wrote said it out loud. I peel back the duvet to make sure Mom is still occupied. There's sweat dripping down her face, her attention laser-focused on the screen in front of her. I might as well not be here. Perfect. I pull out the letter I stashed under my spare pillow, smoothing over a crease with my thumb.
July 1st. 1957. Dearest Cat, I understand why we can't elope. I truly do. I just want you to be well. The end of our relationship won't stop me from loving you for the rest of my life.
I don't know if that helps or hurts. The only
sample complete. Ready to continue?